anti-immigrant rhetoric has become common for many conservative politicians, like former President Donald Trump. Just this week in Wisconsin, Republican candidate for governor Tim Michels is in the news for his campaigning against illegal immigration. But while he was on the board of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association, that group opposed a bill that would have punished companies who hire undocumented workers. Our next guest says that when you get past political platforms, there's a lot more to the story, especially in Wisconsin. She spent years getting to know the state's farmers and their workers and saw the connections they built as they learned more about what they had in common. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about the way undocumented workers are talked about in the United States, in Wisconsin? Do you work with or employ people from Mexico or Central America? Have you come to rely on them? If you're a farmer, does this topic resonate with you? We'd love to hear your story, your perspective on all of this. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@wpr.org. Ruth Conniff is the editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. She was previously editor-in-chief of the Progressive magazine. Her new book is called Milked: How an American Crisis Brought Together Midwestern Dairy Farmers and Mexican Workers. Ruth, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, Ruth, you and your family actually moved to Mexico for about a year, and in some ways that seems like it was kind of the beginning stages of this book. What got you interested in peeling back the layers of this story about Wisconsin farms and their workers?
Well, you know, shortly after Trump took office, my family and I decided we really wanted to get out of the United States, go to another country, for the kids to have a Spanish immersion experience and go to schools in Spanish. And we, after talking to friends, we settled on Oaxaca, Mexico, and we had a wonderful year living there. And as we were leaving, there was an article in the Wisconsin State Journal and WPR, it was a Wisconsin Watch story, about Mexican farmers who had been doing about 80% of the labor on Wisconsin farms, which is really a startling statistic. Some Central American, but mostly Mexican, undocumented immigrants who are propping up our dairy industry. And this family that the article followed had found life was getting really unpleasant, that there were ICE raids. The kids were afraid that their parents were going to be snatched off the street and taken away forever. And people were getting, there was more anti-immigrant rhetoric. They felt uncomfortable. So they decided to go back home to Mexico, and they packed up their truck and they drove all the way back to Veracruz. So I read that story just as we were leaving, and I contacted the reporter, Alex Hall, who put me in touch with her sources. And I went down to that little village in the mountains and I met that family. Their truck was still on the street that they had driven all the way back from Wisconsin. And I learned about how it was for them to reintegrate into Mexico after being up here for decades. Their two little boys had grown up in Wisconsin. And when I saw them, they had just started school in the fall, and the other kids were making fun of them for speaking Spanish with a Wisconsin accent. And it was just a really fascinating little glimpse of something that is a major economic reality and has been for decades here in Wisconsin, that our dairy industry is heavily, heavily reliant on undocumented immigrants. And many of them are from Mexico, and many of them have a dream, not an American dream so much as a dream of going back. They're building homes and starting businesses back home. And after working here for many, many years, they plan to return. And so I just got very interested in that topic, learned more and more about it, connected with a wonderful Spanish teacher from Alma, Wisconsin, named Sean Duval, who had served as a translator on the farms and had this brainchild that she should take the farmers to Mexico to try to learn Spanish. And that evolved into an annual trip where they go and visit the families of their workers. So I went on one of those trips when we came back from our year in Oaxaca, and just got really interested in telling the stories of these people, the farmers on this side of the border and the workers who came from the other side of the border, and really how their lives became intertwined, how they became so interdependent, and how contrary that is to the rhetoric, the anti-immigration rhetoric that you hear from the Republican Party. Most of the farmers that I interviewed are Republicans, and yet are totally admiring of the undocumented workers who they depend on.
In some ways, the economic reality that we're in right now in the dairy industry started back in the 1990s with the passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement. And it seemed like that sort of created a need on both the Wisconsin farm side and the Mexican family side. Can you talk about the reality that brought about?
Yeah. So, I mean, NAFTA accelerated something that was already happening, which is a trend that's been summed up by both Trump and Nixon's agriculture secretaries as get big or get out. And so farmers in Wisconsin, where we have sustained smaller family dairies for many, many generations, are under a huge amount of pressure to grow, to keep up with low milk prices, food that's traded as a commodity on the global market, not, sort of sourced and processed locally and marketed locally. And NAFTA accelerated that trend. So farmers found themselves in the mid-90s and early 2000s in a position where they were suddenly trying to grow their operations from family-only run small farms, where really mostly just relatives had worked on the farm, to bigger, going from 50 cows to 100, 200, 300 cows, and looking to hire people for the first time. And they found it very hard to hire American workers. So what happened, and I trace this story in my book, is that some Mexican workers who had been doing seasonal labor on Christmas tree farms were attracted to the idea of full-time year-round employment on the dairy farms in Wisconsin, and they started moving over. And through word of mouth and family connections, those Mexican workers and those dairy farms who hired them built a long-term relationship with other relatives and members of Mexican communities coming up to fill those jobs, until we got to this startling 80% statistic with the workers who are milking the cows and shoveling manure and fixing equipment and working long hours, mostly being undocumented immigrants.
We're talking with Ruth Conniff right now, author of the new book, Milked, How an American Crisis Brought Together Midwestern Dairy Farmers and Mexican Workers. And Ruth, you mentioned that a lot of those workers transitioned to doing year-round jobs in Wisconsin. That had a big impact for their ability to be here legally and their ability to see their families. Can you talk about the reality for them when they chose that year-round work?
Yeah, so this is the thing. There is no visa for year-round low-skilled work in the United States. You can't come here and do farm work year-round legally. And that's why almost all of the workers on Wisconsin dairy farms are undocumented, because they don't have the opportunity to get a visa that makes their work legal. And that's not true in seasonal work in agriculture, because under the Bracero program, which was started in World War II in this country, there is a system for bringing in seasonal workers from Mexico who spend some time harvesting crops and go back home. Not true for dairy.
And another, I want to meet some of the farmers here in Wisconsin that you spent time with, got to know, traveled back and forth to Mexico with. One is John Rosenau. He is a central figure in your book, and he has built up quite a relationship with his employees, including Roberto and Fermin. Can you talk a bit about John, his operation, and some of his workers?
Well, John lives in Wamandy, Wisconsin, and he is really particularly interesting because he's willing to talk about the fact that he employs undocumented people, which is taking a bit of a risk. But I think he feels it's very important to work against the rhetoric that really demonizes undocumented workers. And he has this relationship that is really beautiful. And I found in the book what I discovered in talking to John and spending a bunch of time with him, traveling to Mexico with him, is that he sees the wave of Mexican workers coming to Western Wisconsin as very much like his family that came over here from Germany and Switzerland. And that this next wave of immigrants, in his view, is picking up the same kind of agrarian tradition that his family brought with them to the Wamandy Valley. And so it's an interesting long-term historical perspective. It's sort of a reminder that, we are immigrants in Wisconsin. A lot of people who consider themselves, multi-generation Wisconsinites, their relatives came from somewhere else, just like these Mexican workers. And he has this very interesting plan. He doesn't have kids, and he wants to set up an employee ownership scheme to hand off his farm to these workers when he retires, which is coming up soon. So that idea that they would really take over and continue and be the next generation is, you know, it's touching and it's interesting. He also was just wowed when he went to Mexico and saw the businesses and homes that his former workers who've gone back have built and how entrepreneurial they are. You know, that sort of sense of connection that he describes as it's an agrarian sensibility, and that most people in the United States nowadays would not ever do this kind of farm work. They'd take public assistance before they would do farm work, he said, but not these Mexican workers. And so that sense of connection, like they have similar values as hardworking people and an agrarian sensibility, I found very interesting.
We're talking with Ruth Conniff right now, editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner, author of the new book, Milked, How an American Crisis Brought Together Midwestern Dairy Farmers and Mexican Workers. We want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Does this story, this topic resonate with your life? What would you like to see change with our food system, our immigration policy? If you're a farmer yourself, have workers from Mexico become a crucial part of your operation? What questions do you have for our guest about her work putting this book together and telling the story? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation in just a bit here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Knetter in for Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Ruth Conniff, author of the new book, Milked, How an American Crisis Brought Together Midwestern Dairy Farmers and Mexican Workers. We're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234, and let's go to the phones right now. We have Pat with us in Green Bay. Hi, Pat.
Greetings.
What did you want to bring up, Pat?
I appreciate this conversation. My employer, this is not a dairy industry, it's not a farming industry, nothing, but my employer has different times of the year several hundred Central American employees. And for the most part, they are a very hard-working group of people. Other than not being able to understand about 80% of what gets said, but that's life. But why can't it be made so that these people don't have to lie and cheat and everything else to get into this country to work? I mean, there's a real simple solution. You want to work? Here's a card. It's chipped so that they know where you're at, and you pay your taxes just like everybody else. And you can say, if you want to send your money home, go for it.
Pat, thanks for the call. Ruth, Pat asking why there can't be a simpler solution to have people here legally. Did you hear a similar concern from any of the farmers you talked with?
Oh, for sure. I mean, and there can be a simple solution. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard to create an agricultural visa for year-round work. The problem is that immigration reform has gotten so hung up on politics. And I was glad that you started the program by talking about Tim Michaels and the news this week that even though he talks about building the border wall, the prototype for Trump's border wall, and we have to keep illegals out of our country and we can't give them driver's licenses or, you know, help with college tuition. Well, when he was the president of the Road Builders Lobbyist Group, his group helped kill a bill that would punish employers for hiring undocumented workers by taking away government contracts. So, you know, people in the construction industry are heavily reliant on undocumented workers, just like agriculture, just like food service, just like hospitality. So there's a real dishonesty about that anti-immigrant rhetoric, I think, from folks like Michaels, because although he says that he didn't know that his group was lobbying for that bill, I find that a little hard to believe. The position of employers on this issue is, we need these people. And that's what the farmers told me. We need these people. It's a done deal. This has been going on for decades. The level of dependence on these workers is just so great. There's not a solution in terms of hiring American workers instead. So the solution really is, how do we acknowledge the economic reality legally? And there was this great moment in 2013, 2014, when it seemed like Congress was going to pass comprehensive immigration reform. It was blocked by John Boehner, then Speaker of the House, and our own Paul Ryan. And since then, they've never been able to put that bipartisan coalition back together to pass a real fix. And that's a shame. And I think the political rhetoric that's so heated about immigrants as, you know, a threat and a danger and enemies who are coming to take our jobs, even though we know in Wisconsin that that's not true, it has a real dampening effect on the prospect for that reform. So it's a shame because it's a missed opportunity to do something constructive.
And a lot of the farmers you talked with, especially after traveling to Mexico, really grew a bond with their workers, a respect for them, recognized the need for them, cared about them and their families. At the same time, many of the farmers you worked with voted for President Donald Trump twice, who famously accused Mexico of sending in murderers and rapists, wanted to build the border wall. That's complicated. How did they kind of reconcile those two positions?
Well, I think the way that people reconciled supporting Trump, even though they didn't like what he said about immigrants, is that they just tuned out the part they didn't like. And I think the appeal of Trump to a lot of folks, especially in Wisconsin, the number one state for farm bankruptcy in the country, is that he promised to shake up the whole system. And rural people felt that no one was looking out for them and that they weren't getting help from the Democrats or the Republicans, and Trump was an outsider who was going to fix things. And so that the explanation that I got from people was really a combination of saying, well, I hate when he says those things. I think they should take away his Twitter, sort of not wanting to listen to him on the immigrant bashing, but really hoping that something would structurally change in Washington, which it really does have to in order to save family farms.
Let's go back to the phones now. We have Kevin in Gilman with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. See, I just wanted to make a comment. You know, I've been in the dairy family for, you know, since probably about the early 1800s in Wisconsin. And, you know, we transition over to organic. So we have to meet a lot of USDA rules, just incredible amount of rules. And part of that is our integrity. And we don't hire any illegal migrant workers. And we don't have anything against migrant workers. But what I want to point out is there are a lot of farmers that do milk their own cows, and that a lot of the change that happened in dairy is because of corporate influence, just pushing small family farms out. And it's really kind of abusing both sides. And to me, if these large corporate farms would actually sell or donate land to, you know, the migrant workers to have their own farm, that to me is being a true citizen.
Kevin, thank you for the call. Ruth, Kevin speaking to the, I think, consolidation of the dairy industry, which has kind of led to the need for more workers. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's absolutely right. He knows what he's talking about. I mean, it is massive consolidation, vertical integration in the dairy industry. These huge farms, there's now the 30,000 cow farm in Green Bay that's been the subject of a lot of dispute about water quality. But we have giant farms, and we no longer drive through the Wisconsin countryside and see a lot of grazing cows. And that's tragic. It's that trend has a lot of ill effects for a lot of people, not just for farmers who in Wisconsin have suffered tremendously. We were losing two farms a day in 2018, it's down to one farm a day. The fact that Sonny Perdue, Trump's ag secretary, would come here and say, well, the big get bigger and the small go out, it's just incredibly insensitive to the tragedy of the loss of those farms. So I absolutely agree. Something needs to be done on a bigger picture level. And it's pretty intense to think that the solution is for people to smuggle themselves across the border in the trunk of a car, as some of the people I talked to did, and do these jobs, keep their heads down for a couple of decades and then go home where they've built a home and maybe left their family and haven't seen them for years and years. I mean, there's not really an argument that this is a great system, but it is the system that we have in Wisconsin. So I think we have to look at the fact that while some people have been able to hang on with smaller farms, and certainly Organic Valley is a tremendous success story, the great majority of farms are having to grow in order to survive. And, you know, it doesn't, demonizing undocumented workers or somehow blaming them for that doesn't make any sense. And we need to think about what would make a more humane and livable life for both groups of rural people in Mexico and the United States. And I get into that a little bit in my book, sort of how the smaller scale village life in Mexico looked so appealing to Wisconsin farmers who felt like it was similar to how their lives looked back in the 1960s, with neighbors helping neighbors and family operations and, you know, the idea that you could live a more humane scale, livable life, better for people and animals and land, and just happier, it's tremendously appealing and kind of nostalgic and kind of poignant, because you see rural people on both sides of the border losing that and on a treadmill to make money and survive that is making life harder and less pleasant for everyone.
Well, Ruth, thank you for sharing this with us today. Thanks for taking the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Ruth Conniff is editor-in-chief of the Wisconsin Examiner. We talked with her today about her new book called Milked, How an American Crisis Brought Together Midwestern Dairy Farmers and Mexican Workers. You can catch Ruth doing a reading from the book in Madison at A Room of One's Own bookstore next Tuesday, July 19th at 6 o'clock p.m.